Hi, thanks for the introduction. First of all, this work was developing with Gustavo Nonato from the University of São Paulo, Brazil, too, and Claudio Silva from University of Utah. It's a common sense that visualization is changing from small problems to more sophisticated or more complex problems, right? Which involves larger data sets, time-dependent data sets, multimodal data sets, right? The problem is some older techniques cannot be applied directly to this new scenario of larger data sets. One example are the multidimensional projection techniques, which are techniques that map data from a high-dimensional space to a visual space, preserving distance relations. In this paper, we have let me explain a little bit better what a multidimensional projection is. Consider that your data set in an m-dimensional space, each data instance is a vector. Okay, your phi function is your multidimensional projection function. It maps each instance to a graphical element, which can be a circle or a point, whatever you want, on a three or one dimension to visualize it. To construct that, you need to create a delta, which is the similarity between multidimensional instance, d, which is the similarity between the graphical elements, and your multidimensional projection do this, which tries to minimize delta and d for each pair of multidimensional objects you have and the projections that you have generated. Of course, that is it's a minimization process, which is usually very expensive to execute, right? In our technique, we do this minimization process, of course, in a different way, through a novel multidimensional projection technique called partial linear multidimensional projection, or PLMP, that is possible to handle massive data sets. Some properties are it's fast. You can project millions of instances in minutes in a Java implementation. It's very precise. When you embed your data on a small dimensional space, the fit is very good. The distances are very well preserved. And the most important, on my point of view, we can now do streaming. Streaming meaning that as you receive the data, you project it. It's not necessary to access your data more than once. Here are some related works, 16 different techniques. We compare all technique against this because just to see if the running times is competitive, if you see the precision is okay. And the result was that our technique presents a very good balance between running time and precision. You will see some results more. Let me explain the technique. It's a very simple technique. Imagine that age is your data set with an instance in a multidimensional scale space. PLMP tries to find phi transformation that minimize this, right? The distance between delta, the delta distance between multidimensional instance and the d between the visual elements. We didn't invent this. It was a very old equation called the stress function, which is minimized by a lot of techniques. And this is also used to ensure the quality of your mapping, to measure your quality of your mapping. This is the overview of our technique. But of course, that finding phi is very expensive because you have to find the phi between all possible phi linear mappings that exist to map your data. It's very expensive. So we do some approximation of this desired linear mapping. The idea is quite simple, in fact. We have your data set, and you get some representatives. I'll discuss later what is this. And you project this to the plane using another technique, OK? And use this information, the placement and this sampling, you construct an approximation of phi and apply it to the entire data set, and you have the projection. And it works. Imagine that H prime is your sampling or your representatives, the case representatives that you have that has already been projected to your visual space or to the P dimensional space, resulting in H over line prime, which are the coordinates of the projection. So if you have this, then this first projection preserves distance, you have that phi should guarantee this, that age overline, age prime is gives you age overline, okay? Which is, in other words, you help just get a small portion of your multidimensional data and project this small portion. Phi can do that, right? How can you construct phi, which is our objective? In fact, we don't construct phi. We construct an approximation, which is phi hat, solving the system, right? It's not one system. It's our p systems, okay? To solve this, you just fix one row of your phi matrix and solve one system from that, get another row, solve another system from that, and you have p linear systems, okay, for each row of phi, to find phi. With that, you solve in a least square sense, okay, which is least square sense. You can use, for instance, Scholastic factorization, which is very fast to accomplish. The problem is, not the problem, in fact, this is the result of our technique, is that if you found this phi hat, which is an approximation, if it's a good approximation, we can construct the final projection only multiplying this by your data, right? And it's written that it's reduced to a matrix multiplication, but in fact, it's not a matrix multiplication. It's a matrix multiplication by a vector, which is by two vectors if you're reducing to two dimensions, which is very fast to accomplish. Well, our phi hat was constructed based on our sampling, right? Based on our representatives. So the quality of the final projection will be dictated a lot by what you have choosing as representatives and how do you place this initially to the plane. So placing to the plane, the first projection is, you can use another technique, very precise technique. There are some, okay, very expensive, but very precise technique. Pick one and use that. And the second part is more involved. It's how do you select the better representatives to construct the phi approximation, right? It's easy to understand that you should represent, representatives should represent very well your data distribution, right? In other words, you should pick up one point or one instance, multidimensional instance from each group that you have. So it's directly, directly follows that maybe you can cluster your data, get one representative of each cluster, and construct the phi based on that, right? Okay, this is true. It works. It's not proven, but it's shown in the paper that's the best way to choose. But just comparing a simple random choice with this clustering choice, we have something very interesting. If you increase the number of representatives until with square root of n, you see that pick up random sampling is almost the same results in terms of stress, which is quality, the final projection, as if you do a clustering selection. But clustering selection is much more expensive, so use a random and use square root of n. Then n is the number of elements to the number of representatives. So this is what we use on the rest of the paper. And compare it against 16 different projection techniques in 7 distinct data sets. And when the code is available, you use the original code, right? Most of these techniques are implemented in Java. So we implemented our technique in Java, included the solver, just to be fair enough. And this is the box plot of the running time and the stress, which is called the box. The running times are in log scale. And you see the PLMP is the first technique on the left on the both block plots. Okay, it's very good in terms of running times. Just there is 4 other techniques that can be compared to. And the stress, it's good in stress. There are some better techniques, but if you take a look at the running times, it's much more expensive. So to have a better insight on what is happening, we create a scatter plot with average times and average stress. And you see on the corner that FastMap, PLMP, Landmarks, MDS, and Pikalska, which is another technique, are the best 4 techniques. So we go to a second round of tests and compare these 4 techniques against our technique. Here are some layouts with larger data sets, 200,000 elements. And the first row is our technique. It's possible to see that it's very, very similar to other techniques. The visual results is very competitive, but it's faster, right? It's pretty much faster. We can compare the time with FastMap, but the FastMap is dark blue are the stress, and light blue is the time. FastMap is as fast as PLMP, but the result is not so good. And Pekalska is a very good technique, but it's slow. So this is can not prove, but can show that a very good balance between running time and stress. Okay, but I told you on the beginning that we are talking about massive data sets. Okay, massive data sets doesn't fit on memory. That's the point. So I have implemented out-of-core implementation of PLMP and compared to a fast map, which is the fastest technique out-of-core implementation. On the dashed lines, there are two dashed lines there. It's the in-core implementation and the out-of-core implementation are the other lines. And you can see that PLMP is at least one or two orders of magnitude faster using out-of-core implementation, which is interesting, but it's good to have numbers. To project 37 million points, almost 37 million points, PLMP took like 4 minutes, and FastMap took 30 minutes. It's a Java implementation, the solver is Java, and almost half this time is reading the data from the disk, because I measure the time that you get, how many times do you spend to get the data from the disk. So if you implement this in C++, probably it's faster than that. But just to be fair to another techniques. How some, here I have some applications, which is interesting. Well, I told at the beginning that the representatives dictate the result, the final result of your projection, right? So why don't you put the user on the loop and he decides the position, right? That's a good question. And here we have three different projections. The larger box are the position of the representatives, and the small box on the right top are the final projection. And it's possible to see that depending on the initial placement of your representatives, your projection changes to be very similar to the position of representatives. Okay, it works. It's one data set, which I'm a very, very, very honest, it's a simple data set, 7th dimensions. And so we get another data set, much more difficult to handle, with a lot of nonlinear relations. It's known to be a very challenging data set. And the left we project using a technique to generate the position of the representatives. On the right, we change on by hand. You see, the separation is improved. There is a silhouette coefficient on the bottom that tells to you the cohesion and the separation of each group you have. Of course, there is a limitation here. It's possible to see the separation is better, but you cannot separate very well your groups because this is a linear mapping. So if you have a nonlinear data, sometimes you can have problems. This is a limitation. The another important application, which I told you that for me it's a novelty. It's for every technique that I know for projection data, you have to traverse at least twice your data set to project it, including the PLMP that I've just explained to you, right? One to get the representatives and another one to project the data. So how can you transform the PLMP into a real streaming projection, meaning that you just need to traverse once your data set to project it? This is how to do that. Okay, that based on a simple observation, suppose that your representatives are known, okay, and are already projected the plane. You don't visit your data set, you just have your representatives in some way. I'll explain how to do that. If you have the representatives and the position of them, you can construct phi, right? If you have phi, you project the data is just to multiply each data instance by your phi, right? So how can you construct phi without visiting the data? That's the question. And it's simply, very simple approach, and it works. I'll show some results. You just create some representatives by hand, just create random vectors. The only things that you need to know are the maximum and minimum of each attribute. This is the only information that we have. How to generate this? The imagined age is inside a hypercube, and you know the maximum and minimum of each attribute, right? So you just draw random vectors inside the hypercube. It works. Yeah, it works. If you generate enough samples, enough representatives, random representatives, it is expected that each element in our data set, each multidimensional instance has a representative in its neighbor, so the linear map will work, right, due to the continuity. Okay, if you have some different distributions, because it's normal distribution works, if you have a different distributions made, not more work, but we don't have, I have tested with a lot of data sets. I don't have any data set that it fails. I know that I can construct one artificial data set, but real data set, it doesn't fail. This is the result. And this is the left plot. We are increasing the number of elements and measuring the quality of your the final projection and comparing the original from memory, getting the points from the data and the streaming. You see that there is a drop in quality, right? Of course, there is a drop in quality, but it's not a drastic drop. And if you compare the results with the other techniques, the FastMap, Landmarks, MDS, and so on, the results are still good. The results are still good. It's not good as the PLMP getting the representatives from the data, but it's still good. Well, some simple applications, we didn't explore it too much. This is the IEEE 2008 contest data set, 200 timestamps. Each timestamp has one volume with 37 million points. Okay, so you project each timestamp. It's really huge data for projection. By the way, I read the last paper that I read about projection on the last year only handles like 200,000 points. So this is two or three or four order of magnitude larger. And what we do here, we just random generate our samples, right? We know the variation of each attribute of this volume. There are 10 variables, and we randomly generate some representatives and reproject that, construct phi. Within hand, we project the first timestamp, right? This is the projection, this is the first timestamp, and we select a region, right? This the projection of the voxels. We select a region and extract the isosurface of these voxels. So this is the isosurface extract from this selection region. Well, using the same phi, we go to the next date, the next timestamp, select the same region, okay? So new voxels extract this isosurface. You have an evolution of the isosurface. What means this region? Which is interesting is that you're selecting the same region always, and you have always the same representatives. And this region may mean like a high density of, which is one variable of your data. I don't know, small pressure and so on and so forth. So you can do this by all the data you have. And well, it's 37 million points for each timestamp, 200 timestamps, and the only time that's consumed here is to read the data from the disk, right? It's another level. Well, okay, the technique is nice, it's a very good balance, but there are some limitations, or you can see this as further works, right? Or space for enhancement, or something like that, how to improve, or how to do something different. The first thing is that PLMP cannot handle dissimilar information, meaning that you need for the construction that I showed, you need the coordinates of your instance. So you have distance, PLMP is not for you. With very high dimensional space, we can have difficulties to handle that, okay? Why? Because the number of representatives should be larger than the number of dimensions. Otherwise, we cannot solve the system. And for, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000 dimensions, maybe this is a problem if you don't have a larger, real larger data sets. Outliers. Okay, this is random generation of vectors. It's a Gaussian random generation. It works, but if you have some outliers on the data set, maybe it won't work, the streaming approach, right? Because probably you are not generated representatives close to these outliers. The another problem is if you have too much groups, and probably you not generate enough representatives to represent all groups. So this is an limitation, still a limitation. Well, or a folder work, right? The conclusions. well, it's a very good trade-off between time and precision. Really, really, really good trade-off. It's shown on the paper, I didn't show on the presentation, but it's shown on the paper that it's a generalization of PCA with a nonlinear stage on the middle where the user can manipulate or where we can use another nonlinear technique to place the representatives. So this is more flexible than PCA. And this is the first multidimensional projection technique that can do streaming for larger data sets, real large data sets. Okay, some techniques can do this for smaller data sets, but this is the first one that can do this, which opens the door for a lot of new applications like remote sensing, surveillance systems, I don't know, data from the internet, music, I don't know, which any kind of streaming data that you have. And finally, it's pretty easy to implement. There are no tricks. There are no tricks, implementation tricks, which is important. It's just to get a paper and implement it. It will work. Well, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for this talk. Other questions?
Looks very interesting. I'm curious, do you have any ideas how it might be generalized to high dimensional sets?
Sorry, I really don't understand because the speakers are...
Do you have any thoughts on how it might be generalized to high dimensional sets?
Well, of course that we are working on that, but still the only idea that we have is that you need to increase the number of representatives, but we don't have an answer yet. We for more than 5 years, we work with document collections, for instance, which have like a 2,000 dimensions. We cannot apply this for document collections. Unless we have a document collections with 10 million points, which is not feasible, we don't have this, we cannot apply for larger, very high dimensional data sets. But we are trying to do this. We don't have an idea yet.
Do you have an idea about the latent dimension? Like, you always project in 2D, but do you have some optimality criterion that says, okay, no, 2D is not, we need like 5 or 6 and so on?
Good question. It's the main objective of this paper is to project to visual space, right? So we lost information when you are projecting the data. But of course, this can be used for dimensional reduction. Why we don't use four-dimensional reduction? Because we are using for visualization. And if you can use this four-dimensional reduction, we have to compare against dimensional reduction techniques. And of course, that is a different work, but it's a really good question. And we have tests just to first reduce the dimensionality using this and project with other techniques, and it works. But I don't know if we can, using this, to know how many dimensions is the best way, the best fit. I don't have any idea if we can do with this. I know some techniques that can estimate this, the better dimension that you want to represent your data, but I don't know. We don't think on that, on this technique particularly.
So what about the number of representatives that you need to cover your space?
Very good question. Well, the representatives dictates the final result, right? If you have good representatives, we have a good phi function. And the numbers, we have tested with a lot of different data sets, and always the curve that minimizes the stress tends to the square root of n representatives. N is the number of elements on your data set. And there is an explanation, I don't know if it's accepted, but from the data mining community, there is a common sense that you have no more than the square root of n groups on your data set. That's a new risk, but it works, and it works for all data sets that you have tested. But you can use less representatives if we are using, for instance, the clustering, but we don't need more than the square root of n to generate our results. But probably you need if you have a lot of clusters, different distribution, and so on and so forth.
We have time for another question.
Probably I missed it, but the question is from the representatives, how do you choose the position in the visual space?
There are two main possibilities. One possibility is just apply another multidimensional scaling technique, for instance, classical scaling, force scheme, or something like that. So you just pick up your representatives, and first of all, you project them to the plane, use another technique, which can be a very expensive technique because it's smaller, right? It's a small data set. Or you can allow the user to manipulate that. That's one idea.
Okay, thanks.
Another question?
Just a piece of information. I'm not the math guy, but I collaborate with Mauro Maggioni at Duke, and he's got a really nice paper coming out about dimensionality estimation. And I think you could get some good results if you can really, in your really high dimensional data sets, estimate the true dimensionality of the data, and then sample within that lower dimensional space. And even in the streaming case, then if you have some sample ahead of time, you can set up your representatives covering the space well, and then probably get a good result with the streaming. So let's talk afterwards. I can give you his contact information.
Sure. Cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you again for the nice talk.